Shadrach Cabango, otherwise known as Shad, is my favorite Canadian hip-hop artist. I can say this easily because I don't actually really know any other hip-hop artists. You know by now I'm not cool, right?
Yeah, okay.
And don't actually ask me to name a whole lot of Shad's music. I just really like him as a person. He's just really cool. So Thursday night at Eucharist Church here in town, I heard Shad talking about his new album called A Short Story About a War. He described how his album paints a picture of this vision that once came to him of the ways in which we divide ourselves in society, how we do violence to each other, both physical and otherwise, as we maintain our positions that protect ourselves and fire at each other from there. Shad's album is unique. It tells a story as it goes along with various characters and groups. One of the characters is the fool. They sound much like the typical Shakespearean fool, pointing out the absurd and the illusions that people maintain, and often being the only word of wisdom in the scene, though they are easily dismissed by others. This fool character looks at the bullets in the short story about a war and says, this is what you're afraid of? This isn't something to fear? Which is foolish, right? Of course bullets are to be feared. Of course we must fear and protect ourselves. Shad did some reflecting on ways that we let fear drive our lives and how that keeps us separate from each other. Even how it leads us to do further violence to each other. As he tried to name how the fool is speaking to us in our world, Shad asked, what if we could disarm ourselves in front of one another? Would we be crushed or would we be free? What if we could disarm ourselves in front of one another? How foolish. How foolish of the God of Abraham and Sarah to create a peoplehood on that very foundation. Deuteronomy 10, which we heard, starts a new section of that document, starting by reminding the Israelites of all the teaching they have received thus far, of who God is, who they are, what this relationship and calling mean. What does the Lord your God require of you? Only, the text says, to live in recognition of the awesome nature of God. To make God's ways your everyday. To love God with every fiber of being and soul. To serve the God who liberated you. And to obey the commandments that were spoken for your well-being, whether you understand it or not. And Moses teaches the people, you shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. How strange that God started forming a people that would be a light to all by first making them strangers. God called Abraham and Sarah to leave the people who seemed most like them. God called them to be dependent on others. God called them into relationship with people who might not trust them. God called them to disarm themselves in front of others. In order to make a people who would carry good news, God said, you have to learn to depend on me by learning to depend on others. You have to feel strange. What if we could disarm ourselves in front of one another? Would we be crushed or would we be free? You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. We should be sure to tell the whole story there and say they were not only strangers, but then slaves in the land of Egypt, oppressed by the wealth machine of another people. This is how slavery can still be described today. There are many in our world who have been made to be strangers and more, in different ways beyond their own choice and power, certainly outside of any call of God. But God says to the Israelites, remember, Remember, this happened to you all because you were following this risky, risky call. I needed you to become strangers because my way is a way of loving strangers. How foolish. God's way is a way not only of loving strangers, but of being strangers. In Deuteronomy, God says, love the stranger because that was you. In Matthew, we heard Jesus say, love the stranger because that is me. Love the one who is overlooked or ignored because that is Jesus. Isn't it interesting to reflect on how neither the sheep nor the goats in this parable knew what Jesus was talking about? When did we ever see you? The sheep didn't care for the overlooked because they were ticking boxes on the road to heaven. And perhaps, since this is a teaching story and we can wrestle with what it means, the goats didn't avoid the hungry and thirsty because they specifically decided to be cruel. These two farmyard creatures are having their way of life described to them. The sheep discovered that they, in fact, have been drawing nearer and nearer to Christ in everything they do with others. And the goats discovered that the more that they have separated themselves from the vulnerable people before them, the more and more they have separated themselves from Christ. We might get a little queasy when we get to these passages that speak of eternal doom, but separation from God is a pretty poignant description of whatever that means practically. Love the stranger because that was you. Love the stranger because that is Christ. Become the stranger. Why didn't those sheep know what they were doing, serving Jesus? I imagine that it was because they were a people who didn't so much look for the stranger as become the stranger, as Abraham and Sarah once did. I think the call not only to love the stranger, but actually to choose to become a stranger is vital to those of us who hold privilege in a world that easily creates echo chambers and fears difference. I may have the privilege to fool myself into thinking that I don't need to depend on others. Following that logic, I can believe that someone who is different from me doesn't have any gift to offer me that I need. I can choose to protect myself from what is other. But what if we could disarm ourselves in front of one another? Would we be crushed or would we be free? What if we drop our defenses and our shields and go where we feel strange, where we need someone else to show us the way to life? What if, in that vulnerability, you feed me and I feed you? You house me and I shelter you. You visit me and I comfort you. Maybe we would be amazed to discover that we are closer to Christ than we have ever been. Maybe making ourselves strangers could be a little like the First Mennonite Church of San Francisco. They share space with the Shahar Zahav Congregation, Jewish synagogue in San Francisco, and Rabbi Michael Copeland wrote about their first Shabbat after the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. She writes, in response to the attack, the president commented, if they had an armed guard inside, they might have been able to stop him immediately. They had a maniac walk in and they didn't have any protection. The rabbi writes about how the Mennonites who share their worship space reached out, since they were already friends, and they planned to come together on that first Shabbat service after. They began together, and then, she writes, by the time our Jewish services were to begin, a group of about 20 Mennonites stood outside our front doors in an arc, singing hymns and holding candles. During the silent prayers of our Shabbat service upstairs in our sanctuary, I asked the crowd to listen to the soft voices outside our open windows and feel how we were held in embrace by our Mennonite neighbors who surrounded the outside of the building. My chief hope since the shooting has been that we will refuse to live in fear. She ends by writing, "Of course, we don't expect our friend's presence at our door to be a permanent solution to a complex, ongoing problem. Perhaps our community will decide that we do need to step up security measures in some way down the line. But in the short term, I'll take 20 Mennonites over one armed security guard any day." This is Peace Sunday, part two. Our Mennonite Central Committee buttons proclaim our vision for November 11th and for every day is that to remember is to work for peace. And peace is not only about avoiding doing violence. A vision of peace is creating communities in which we follow the call to not only drop our weapons, but also drop our shields. And to find that every stranger we meet will show us who Christ is and show us who we are. What if we could disarm ourselves in front of one another? Would we be crushed or would we be free? In the words of Jesus, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed.